Well, we're in this text in Ephesians chapter 5. If you'll take a Bible and turn there, I think it's page 978 and 979 in the Bible in front of you. And I will read this passage. We'll be in Ephesians 5. I'm going to start in verse 18, and I'm going to work through down to 33. And I'm just going to read it first, and then we'll go from there. This is God's word, verse 18. "And do not get drunk with wine, for this is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God, the Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. Husbands," you've got more verses, "love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound, and I am saying that it refers to Christ and the church. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband." You know, when Michael Boys was here, he would often give me really difficult texts, and he's not here, and I created the preaching schedule, so this is on me. And I also have a wife here who is listening. And I surely fall short in many of these ways as well. And so we'll come to this text with a lot of humility, I hope, and a lot of grace for one another. North Korea, South Korea border, it's a demilitarized zone. And it is one of the most beautiful places that you could find. Over the last 50 to 60 years, it's become effectively like this nature reserve, and it's been untouched in many ways. So it's become this nature reserve where wildlife flourishes, where wildflowers and things flourish and thrive in this place. And yet, it is one of the most dangerous places in the world that you would ever try to go into. It is fortified on both sides. It's a battleground. It's fortified on both sides. There are heavy artillery all over the place. There are landmines between these two countries. There is beauty and there is dangers, not unlike this text this morning. There are many landmines in this text. When I think about marriage and I think about being in marriage and you think about being in marriage in such close proximity to another human being who has fallen just like you, there are many landmines in this text. And as a pastor, there are many landmines that I've got to navigate as well. My question for you this morning, one of my questions for you this morning, is this: right now in your marriage, are you at a place where it looks more like a nature reserve or more like a demilitarized zone where there are landmines all over the place, wherever you might step? The passage I just read, if I could summarize it, I would say this to us, both wives and husbands. I would say this: we need to follow Christ and we need to lay down our rights. We need to lay down our weapons. We need to lay down our defenses if we want our marriages to reflect Christ. That's what this text is about. It's about two things, really. Submission. I know that's a bad word, submission and sacrifice. But when you think about the gospel, what did Christ do for you? He sacrificed himself for us. And he asks us to do the same, men, one to another. And as a church, we submit and we follow Christ. We When you wake up in the morning, I hope as a Christian, if you know Christ, you're saying, how can I follow Christ today? How can I defer to Christ even when I want to do something else? Right? That's the nature of the gospel. That's also the nature of the Christian life. The Christian life is submitting to Christ. The Christian life is sacrifice, taking up a cross and following him. And so that's what this text, I would say, is about. And that's hard because such close proximity, when you think about your spouse, you think about the close proximity and the collisions that happen over silly things and over important things, right? We're so close. So internally, this is difficult. Externally, it's even more difficult. Think about the world that we live in. We live in a world, especially here, maybe as Texans even, we don't like giving up our rights and we don't like giving up our freedom for anybody. And yet when the scripture says, give up your rights, serve your wife, follow your husband, that makes everything in us scream, right? It is not normal to give up our rights. We are a people who love our freedom and we love our rights. One of the chief virtues of our day is that whatever makes me happy, I will pursue. And if it doesn't make me happy, I will do something else. And oftentimes in the world that we live in with marriage, if you look around, what happens is marriage is like this stick of gum and we chew it. And once it loses its flavor, we throw it out and we try another piece of gum, right? We live in a world that is extremely confused about marriage and what it is. It's also confused about gender. A few years ago, I remember taking a trip to the Hill Country to see some of my family in a certain city in the Hill Country in a certain coffee shop, and we had to go to the bathroom, and so I needed some coffee, and the kids needed to go to the bathroom, and so we go in, and I'm standing in the middle. I'm waiting for one of my kids to go to the bathroom, and I look, and he's looking at one of the signs, and he's perplexed, because little kids, when they go in the bathroom somewhere, what do? They're looking for the sign to make sure they go into the right place, and you're trying to help them, right? You're going to make sure they don't go in the wrong one. And so I'm 15 to 20 feet away, and my son says to me, Dad, what does gender neutral mean? Loud for everyone to hear, right? And I'm starting to walk over. He goes, look at this picture. It's a picture of a man's face, but he has a dress on. That's just dumb. Like, I didn't order coffee. We just left. But this is the world that our kids live in. This is the world that we live in. There's so much confusion, right? There's so much confusion about gender. There's so much confusion about what marriage is and isn't. And this is the air that we breathe. And we need clarity amongst confusion because, listen, what God wants to do in this text, what we're finding is and in the gospel, what God wants to do with marriage is say, this is a great picture of the gospel. This is a great picture of sacrifice and submission. And that ought to be a witness to the world around us to say, that looks different. She loves him. She's a fan. He cares for her. He sacrifices for her. He's tender with her. That's a beautiful picture to a fallen world of the gospel of Christ. I realize that I'm not speaking at a marriage conference. I'm speaking in a place where there are young kids, where there are young adults. And for you, I would say, these are great things to think about. The Christian life, if you know Christ as a young person, ladies, young men, if you know Christ, your goal is to serve. Your goal is to be a servant. Your goal is to humble yourself before Christ. And the more you do that now, if God so wills that you get married someday and you desire that, if God so wills that, then you are way more prepared than many of us were at that point. So I want you to think about the principles here that God unpacks in his word for you to think and consider and to practice. And to practice in a way that says, I'm going to lay down my rights. It says, you know, I'm going to be a person who serves and cares for other people. And that will serve you well. And I also realize that I've been praying much about some other people in this room who have gone through so much, that are divorced, that are widowed. People in this room right now who are in the middle of a war zone in their own marriage. And I'm praying that God would do a work in your heart this morning as well. Ground rules for those of you that are married, no elbows, no dirty looks. No mental list, right? No mental list when I walk through this deal with the ladies and then you. Like, no mental list of things after the service that we're going to talk about at lunch. I promise you, men, if you have like 8 things about your wife's revering you and following you, I promise you, as she has about 80 things, all right, that she can come to you with and say, here's where you're not being a good leader, and here's where, okay? So rather than doing that, I would just encourage you to think about how this applies to me as a husband, how this applies to me as a wife. And maybe the conversation looks more like this. Sweetheart, I know I don't measure up. What can I do to honor you more? What can I do to love you better? I know I'm a failure in many ways. And you could speak to those things. But what can I do to be more like Christ for you? It's the same with the wives. Honey, what could I do to be more? That's a different conversation. That's not an afternoon fight, I hope. That's what we need. So let's look really at a couple things. Here, your blanks, if you're a blank, you like filling in blanks. I want to look first at the power that we need for a healthy marriage. And then we're going to look at the pattern and practice of a healthy marriage. A marriage that is filled with the Spirit. A marriage that follows the pattern of Christ, that Christ has laid out for us, that we might be a people who display the glory of God in our marriages. The first one is the power of a healthy marriage. Jay really unpacked this last week, but it's connected. It's very connected. If you look at verse 22 there, verse 22 says, wives, submit to your own husbands. The word submit is not there in the Greek. Some of you ladies are like, sweet, I knew this was a problem. I knew there was something else that should be there. Unfortunately, you're not off the hook. It's actually connected to verse 21. See, verse 21 says, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. And then it says, wives, to your own husbands. So it connects this past passage. Maybe you have a break here in a title that says something like wives and husbands, but there's really not a break. In the Greek, there's not a break. It's all one group or one section of scripture together. And so what that means is this. Last week, if you remember, if you weren't here, I'll give you the summary. Last week, we talked about what does it look like to be filled with the Spirit? Walk by the Spirit. Jay said and did a great job clarifying and teaching that there are different works of the Spirit in our life. The first one, when we come to faith, is that the Spirit of God indwells us, takes residence in us, and seals us, right? So that's the permanent work of the Spirit that never changes. You can't lose it. And then as we yield to Christ, as believers in Christ, as we trust Him, as we obey Him, as we follow Him, there's this filling of the Spirit that happens in our lives. And there were 3 things from last week's passage that Jay said, this is evidence that the Spirit is filling you. This is what Paul says to the Ephesians. The Spirit fills you if you are worshiping God, if you're giving thanks. And the last one was what? If you're mutually submitting to one another. So we often think of the filling of the Spirit in kind of miraculous ways, but there's some ordinary ways in which the Spirit works, and very important ordinary ways that the Spirit works, right? And what Paul's going to do here is he's going to take the next section of Scripture, really the rest of this chapter and all the next, and say, if you want to be filled with the Spirit, which is where we get the power, where power comes from in your Christian life and my life is from the filling of the Holy Spirit. And if you want that, you need to follow Christ in these ways by submitting. And then he's going to give 3 areas. This one today, marriage. Next week, children, parenting. And a couple weeks from now, after Easter, we'll look at employees, employers. And so this is how he's unpacking this. So the power of a healthy marriage is by submitting one to another in the role that Christ has given us. We do a bit of marriage counseling. And one of the most glorious things to see is a couple, and it could be a really awful situation, whether it's adultery, whether it's pornography, or whether it's just compulsive lying, or just crazy amount of bickering, and just there's no trust, in the marriage anymore. There's those situations, and people come in, and they've got their weapons out, right? And they've got their defenses up. But what's really cool is when you see inch by inch and yard by yard, those defenses come down. And people willing to submit themselves to Christ and say, we're going to make this work. That's a beautiful thing. And I've seen it over and over and over. And it's one of the most glorious things you could ever see, because if you put money up on it up front, you would say, I don't know. I don't know. And to see God work. And also one of the hardest things in ministry to see is the same kind of situation. And people come in the room, and over time, they're dug in this. Is that a word? Their weapons, that they stay out and they get bigger. Their defenses, they stay out and they get more fortified. And their little crew that they have over here to help kind of play their position gets bigger. And all the reasons, and then what happens is all the reasons they have to leave get bigger and bigger and bigger. And the reason that happens is because they won't lay down their weapons. They won't lay down their defenses. They won't give up their rights. And listen, there's some deep and hard things. And there's some situations that it may be too far gone. But I've seen things that I thought were way too far gone and God's Spirit work, and there was reconciliation in marriages. Listen, here's what happens. The Bible says that we grieve the Holy Spirit when we sin against each other, when we won't lay down our rights. And 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 19 says this: rejoice always, pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ for you. Do not quench the Spirit. The Spirit of God in the Word of God is seen as a fire or a flame that's within you. You ever go camping and you have the fire and you put wood on it and it gets bigger and it brings warmth? What do you do? What happens when you throw sand on it? You quench it. And this is exactly what happens. And this is what we see sometimes even in marriages. It is so painful that you shut down the power of the Holy Spirit in your life when we won't submit to Christ and we won't lay down our rights. And it's like driving a car with no engine. And nothing good happens from there in marriages. I can promise you. The Spirit is a great gift. We desperately need it. At Christ Community Church, we are praying that God will protect your marriages. We are praying that God will continue to draw you closer to one another. And we are praying for a lot of marriages right now that need work, that need help. And we're praying. It doesn't matter how good of counseling or how much money you spend on counseling or any of those things. If you're not willing to come to the table and disarm, nothing good is going to happen. And it's not because the counselor's not good. It's not because people don't love you. It's because what you've done is you've shut down the Spirit of God, which is the primary way in which you grow, in which things change in your life. You've got to disarm for the Spirit to work in your life. So that's the power of a healthy marriage. The power comes from the Spirit and us submitting to one to another. Look at the pattern and practice. That's your next point. The pattern and practice of a healthy marriage. This is kind of the meat of the text that we're in this morning. A pattern is a model, right? It's a template that we use, and then we put it into practice. And this is what Paul is saying to us. He's saying that here's the model. The model is the church to Christ. The church follows Christ. The church defers. You and I wake up in the morning and we say, we want to follow you, Jesus. And that's the pattern for in marriage for the wife. And the husband's role here is to what? Love Christ. Love his spouse as Christ loved the church. And so it's Christ to the church. And so those are the patterns that you see. And what does it look like to practice that? Ladies, I don't know if you want ladies first here, but this is kind of how the text unpacks. I can take the men if you want to do the men first. It doesn't matter, right? But submission, that word literally means to place yourself willingly. I want you to hear that word. To place yourself willingly, to make that choice, to place yourself willingly under, right? Under your husband's leadership, okay? We're going to talk about what that doesn't mean. But look, we see that in every aspect of life. If a policeman pulls me over and he comes to the window and he asks for license and registration, I don't ask him for a resume. If I really want a ticket, I can ask him for stuff. Hey, are you a good cop or a bad cop? I really want to see your track record. What do? I see a badge and I get pulled over. What should I do? I get my license and registration. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. And I give it. And I hope they don't give me a ticket. But there's built-in authority in that, right? Did you know that in the Godhead, as we think about Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, this is what the Bible unpacks, right? We're all made in the image of God. We're all made with equal worth and equal dignity and equal value. Nobody's inferior to one another. In the Godhead, you know what you see? You see equality. The Father isn't better than the Son. The Son isn't better than the Spirit. They're God, right? That would be heresy for us to say, right? But they're also distinct. There's a Father, a Son, and a Holy Spirit. They're distinct persons of the Trinity. And did you know what? Jesus submits to the Father. You see it multiple places. You see it right before he goes to the cross. He asks the Father. He asks the Father if you take it out of his hands, and he says, no. And he submits himself to the Father's will. This is Jesus submitting himself to the Father. And you also see in Scripture the Spirit submitting himself to the Son. This is the picture, so it makes sense. It makes sense when God makes us in his image, both male and female, that there would be equality across the board, and there would be order in a sense, that there would be different roles that we play. When I was a kid, I was in this play when I was like in third grade, and I didn't like any of it. I had to be in it, but I rode the bicycle built for two, and all my friends made fun of me, but I was in the front steering. There was a girl in the back. She was giving power to that bike as well, right? We were in tandem. It's called tandem, a tandem bike, right? And I was steering, but we were working together. When you see, is Dancing with the Stars a thing still? Like, it's on like 15th season, or I don't know. I don't watch it anymore. But like, when you see two people dancing together, and maybe that's a bad example. Maybe you get two professional dancers. It's a beautiful thing when you see two professional dancers together. They're both participating. The man is leading, the woman is following. But it's this beautiful symmetry. And this is like what we're talking about here. Submission means to willingly place yourself under. Now, ladies, this is an important phrase, as to the Lord, right? As to the Lord. That means a couple of things. It means that if your husband asks you to do something that is sinful, should you do it? No. Should you cover for him if he asks you to do something sinful, or he wants to do that? No. You have plenty of examples in scriptures. You have one, Ananias and Sapphira. She followed him. What happened? Didn't end well. You got Abigail and Nabal in the Old Testament. He was a jerk husband. She tried to cover for him. God took care of him, right? But what it means as to the Lord, it's important. It means that you defer to him. It also has this timeless. One of the things about this passage that's really interesting that people do to this passage is they take it and say, this doesn't apply to us anymore. These roles don't apply to us anymore because this was a cultural thing in that day. Where does Paul look for an example or a model, this pattern? He looks to Christ. He looks to the gospel. That's timeless. It doesn't change. The day and age that this Ephesian church was living in, actually in Asia Minor, there were women in leadership all over Asia Minor at this point. Roman rule was brutal on women. Women were property in Roman rule. It's awful. So think about that as it relates to a household code for Christian, because there were household codes in that day, and none of them included Husbands, love your wife. Hello. Hear that, men? All right? Hello. I don't know if we have backup generators or not. We're about to find out. We'll do this in the dark. That may be scary. It's a scary text anyway. It's going to be really scary in the dark. All right. Where was I? Here's what it doesn't mean. I'll just skip to that. Can I tell you the test of this? The test of this is when you have a major decision. I want husbands, listen to this too. When you have a major decision in your marriage that you have talked about a lot, men, that you have prayed about a lot, that you have considered for a while, a major decision, and you aren't in the same place, and your husband comes and said, on a major decision, and your husband comes and says, I think we need to go this direction. And when it's even not a direction that you want to go or think is wise or any of those things, for you to say, God, I trust you. Because this deal is not really about your husband, is it? It's really about the Lord. This deep, believe me, deep trust in the Lord with this knucklehead, right? Okay? It's a deep trust in the Lord that you're trusting yourself to the Lord. And so in that situation, if after that decision was made, as a family directional move, after much prayer, after much thought and consideration and communication, and you made the decision, ladies, to bug him about that or say, I told you so. I told you so. You're wrong. Doesn't really fit, does it? That's hard. That's really difficult. You have a difficult role. And men, we can make that a lot easier on our wives by loving them well and walking through that well. Or we can make it really hard, just on a practical level. You can make that easier, you can make that harder. It's never fun. You can make it easier, you can make it harder. What it doesn't mean that you submit to all men. It's really important, ladies. Your job is not to submit to all men. Your job is to follow your husband. Men, that's important for you to know as well. In this, as already said, it doesn't mean you follow him or cover his sin. It doesn't mean you're inferior. It doesn't mean you're less valued, less worthy. It doesn't mean that you lose your identity, your personhood. It doesn't mean, men, that you subjugate you think your leadership of your wife is a subjugation to you. That is not biblical. That is abuse. You know what Jesus, you think about how Jesus talked about leadership. Remember the couple of disciples who they wanted a place in the kingdom? And what did Jesus say? He's like, you don't rule over people like the Gentiles do. You serve. I came to give my life as a ransom for many and serve. That's what servant leadership, man, looks like. 1 Peter 3:7 says, likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way. Honor to the woman as a weaker vessel. Since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, they are sisters in Christ. There's no subjugation in that. You are on equal footing. Galatians chapter 3 says there's neither slave nor free, male nor female, unto Christ. Like in the gospel, it levels all the playing field that we are equal. All right? There's a lady at my old church. She's a fierce Texas woman, independent. If you go down Derry Ashford over here and you get past Tully Stadium, the next thing you'll see is Don Coleman Coliseum. Don Coleman and Mary Kay Coleman were at our previous church. And one of the things I loved about Mary Kay Coleman is that she was a sweet, fiery Texas lady, but she loved her husband. And he had a stroke about 10 years ago, and she's cared for him. She's loved him. And if you know her on Facebook, she posts all the time about Coach. He was a coach for 37 years at Memorial High School, won a state championship, and she can't help herself. She's a fan. She's a fan of her husband. Do you know what that does to your husband's heart? When you follow him, when you're a fan, and you're a finisher, which is true. Like, there's some things in us, according to Genesis, that we need in our wives, that you complement us, that you complete us, Jerry Maguire, right? All right? This is true. This is what is the needs of your husband. Husbands, your turn, right? Husbands, willingly choose to love your wife like Christ loved the church. Let me tell you what this means. There's really three categories from verses 25 through 31. I'm going to give you these categories. Three things. Sacrificially love her, sanctifyingly, that's a word, love her, and satisfyingly love her. Let me unpack those. Sacrificial love in that passage, in the verse 25 there, as Christ loved the church. How many times in Ephesians has he said, given himself up for? This is the third or fourth time you've seen that in the book of Ephesians. Here it says her, it uses the feminine word. Chapter 5, beginning of 5, it says for us, the church, right? So we sacrificially care for wives. We put her needs above our own. That means maybe, husbands, when you come home and I'm in a work in progress, right? That maybe you ask your wife, how can I help you? It might be go and play with the kids, which is what I like to do. Or it might be, can you help me in the kitchen? Can you help me with this? Can you help me with that? She's been working all day too. So if I sit down on the couch and press play, and she's working, is that loving my wife? Is that sacrificing for my wife? Is that putting her needs above my own? I'm tired. There's plenty of times where she's tired and I'm tired and we're going to care for each other in that. What does that look like in your life? That means that if she cooks, maybe you clean. I don't know what it looks like in your house. I'm not trying to create problems here. Maybe I am. All right? You need to think about these things, about how do you care for your wife? How are you sacrificial for her? Sanctifying love, verse 26 and 7 lays this out. It might sanctify her, cleansing her by the washing of the word. This is Christ to the church. The idea here, big idea here, is that you are helping her grow in Christ, that you are pushing her toward Christ. That means, husbands, on Sunday morning, that you're the one getting the family up and saying, we're going to church. You go to the Shipley's and get the donuts while she gets ready. I don't know. But y'all are going to church. You're leading in that. You're leading in saying, hey, if you want to go to the marriage conference, let's go. Rather than that, ooh, I got a lot to do this weekend. I don't really want to go listen to, right? That you're helping her grow. That you're going to community group. You're investing in one another. You're talking about each other's day. You're talking about what God is teaching you. That's present. That's a sanctifying love, a satisfying love. Look at this, because this may not make on paper that much sense, but look at verse 29. For it says, no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes. Literally, the word cherish means to bring warmth. Think about the way you take care of yourself. If you're hungry, you go get something to eat. You nourish yourself. I'm hungry. I'm going to go get something to eat. And then when you look further at this text, it talks about two becoming one. So this satisfying love is about meeting her needs just like she has, that you have, that you know, that you would always meet in yourself, that you would do that for her. And it means that we become one. Marriage is really about oneness, and you're either moving close, you're either moving away from oneness or toward oneness in your marriage. That means when you celebrate something, you're doing it together. That means that your checkbook is together. That means that your schedule, as best you can, is together. That means that the things that you do in marriage are together. They're not separate. That you're raising the kids together. That you're spending time together. That means when something happens in your life and she is hurting, that you are hurting too. That you are walking in that with her. That's what it means to be one. Now, we got to lay our rights down. We got to take responsibility and lead and provide and grow. And this can't be passive. This needs to be active. It doesn't mean that you lose your identity either to her control. It doesn't mean that you can't ever go do some things that you want to do. Just work that out with her. If you want to go play golf every couple weeks or once a week or whatever it is, work it out. I'm throwing that out there, Mom. Like, she's gracious. She is incredibly gracious. And it doesn't mean, men, that you're a doormat. It doesn't mean that. There's a way to work through that. It doesn't mean that you're always the one being manipulated. It doesn't mean that you can't What it does mean, though, listen, we can't change each other. We can't change each other. The Spirit's got to do that work. You know, my father-in-law and mother-in-law, we're a great picture of this. My father-in-law, known him for, 20 years now. And I came from a broken home, a divorced home. And my parents gave me a lot. They were lovely people. But to watch my wife's family, to watch him love her and care for her, to watch him learn her and give me some great advice. One time he said, you know, Seth, there's only been a few major, what did he say? He said, I make all the major decisions in this family, and there's only been a few of them, right? Is it great? But he worked, it was a great picture of the tandem bike. It was a great picture of that dance that you see. He doted on her. He cared for her when she got cancer a couple years ago, and which ravished her body. He walked with her at every step. He was a leader, he was a learner, and he was a lover. Men were called to love our wives sacrificially, to help them grow in Christ, to treat them as we would ourselves, to be one. That's hard for us, men, to be one. We have our vision and our dream and our direction. We've got to bring them alongside of us. And young men, maybe you're not married yet. Maybe you want to be married. Maybe you're newlywed and you're figuring this out. But leading your wife does not mean that she's behind you. It doesn't mean that you're making every decision in your home. Don't mess with the decor, okay? Just don't do it. There are things that you need to let her use her gifts and her ability, whatever those are, whether it's decor or whether it's finance. If she's good at finance, let her do the bills. It is not encroaching on your role as a husband, okay? One of the challenges of this for men is that we all have this little boy in us, right? You have this little boy in us, and some of us has this little boy syndrome. So anytime this idea of we feel respect and a lack of respect, what happens is we just kind of blurt out. I've learned over the years, sometimes, I need to ask myself a few diagnostic questions before I go there, right? Is that really about respect, or is that just really about my insecurity, all right? So anyway, men, lead and love your wives. Let me close with this. If you want a healthy marriage, you've got to lay down your rights. That's your takeaway. You got to lay down your rights. You got to lay down your weapons. You got to lay down your defenses, and you've got to take up your cross and trust Christ and follow him. You've got to tap into the power of the Holy Spirit that's available. It's a gift to you. It's there all the time. My kid comes to me with a video game and says, I need power. What do you mean? There's a plug right there. Plug your iPad in. That's not what he means. He wants power in the game. He wants a new pack that costs $5 so that he can win. Like, you don't need to do that. The Holy Spirit is there for you to access. It's there for you. Follow Christ. Submit to one another. Care for one another. I got permission to share a personal example. I laid this out, so I hope I don't get in trouble. But when we were about 3 weeks into marriage, 2002. I'd just finished seminary, well trained. You know, I had my pastor title now, and we got married about a month after I became a youth pastor, and we had moved to Houston. We had an apartment, and we went to kind of a young couples group, and there was an older couple there one night. And this older couple went through the peacemaker material. I don't know if you've ever seen this. It's like conflict resolution with scripture. And so they describe it like this slippery slope. Conflict resolution as a slippery slope. And in the middle of it, your goal is to work it out. That's what honors Christ, is to work your problems out. And you can do that by confessing. You can do that by overlooking small offenses. You can do that in a variety of ways. And on the other side, there's this flight pattern, right? Where your tendency is to just go in a hole and get away from this situation. And the other one is fight. So we learned all about this, and we hung out with some young couples after that, and about 12 at night, we went through the Taco Bell drive-thru over here at Gessner and Westview. We had just learned, like we were learned people at this point. We're like, man, we're gonna apply this to marriage. And I order and we're moving through the drive-thru and she says to me, she's like, why were you so rude? I'm like, what do you mean? Well, I was so rude. I wasn't rude. And we're going back and forth. And we get through the drive-thru. We're still arguing about this. And I say, brilliant. I say, you know, didn't we just learn to overlook offenses? That went well. That went really well. And so for the next 15 or so minutes, we're fighters, both of us. We're in that camp most of the time. And so we're just colliding about 15 minutes in. And I'd heard in marriage that when you fight and have that, like a lot of times the wife will go into the bedroom and lock the door and you get to sleep on the couch. And so I was determined to be the leader in this whole deal. And so when I got to the apartment, I went into the bedroom because I was going to sleep on the couch. I was not going to sleep on the couch. It's another good move, right? And so I go to sleep and she turns on the TV and I can hear it really loud. And you know, the next morning I go in and first major fight we had in marriage, and I go in and I kneel down and we're both still trying to figure out, why did we argue over Taco Bell, right? That's still there. But you're saying, man, I am such an idiot. This is so dumb. But I'm so sorry for the way I spoke to you. And she says to me, and she's crying, and she's like, I just want to go. We're 3 weeks into marriage. I just want to go home. And I said, you are home. And she even crying more, she says, I know. I love to tell that story. If I get permission. You know, nobody's going to Taco Bell for lunch today, right? After this deal. It's crazy how fast, even as believers in Christ, we can forget, right? We can forget. Or when that moment comes, that collision, it's coming. What are we going to do with it? And we can forget it 5 minutes after a sermon. We can forget it 5 minutes after a talk on conflict resolution. I just encourage you today, don't leave here with a list. Leave here saying, here's how I want to be a better husband. Here's how I want to be a better wife. You will collide. You will bump into each other. You will bruise each other. And always come home to each other. You need grace. You need a lot of grace. You need a lot of forgiveness. You need the Spirit to be at work so that walls don't get put up. You know, I heard a preacher say this one time. He said, we preach in miles, and it's a lot to take in, but we grow in inches. And I think that's probably right today. There's a lot that you had to take in. And we grow in inches. Just take those steps. Take those steps. And when you mess up, make it right. Own it. Make it right. So whether your marriage right now looks like a demilitarized zone or closer to a nature preserve, grow inch by inch. You know, the scripture says that it does define marriage as kind of this garden. And there are always foxes that come into that garden, according to Song of Solomon. It's just, what do we do with them? What are we going to do? There's always weeds that are growing. Or are we pulling them out? Are we making things right? We want to be a people who, through the power of the Holy Spirit, follow the pattern that Christ lays out for marriage in our lives. And we want to practice it. And what a beautiful picture that is. Listen, nobody's got a perfect marriage. I surely don't. You surely don't. But the world can watch a marriage and say, they love each other. They're kind toward each other. God isn't demanding perfection, neither should we from each other. Man, we've got an opportunity in marriage to love each other as Christ loved the church and laid his life down for him. As the church, we have the opportunity to submit and trust Christ and follow him. So remember that as we go.